I need to begin with an announcement I forgot, and Pat Reddy will kill me if I don't do it. If you ordered flowers from Pat, you can pick up the flowers, I think back on Ridge Court is where she's got them, behind the church until 11:30. There are extra hanging baskets and plants for sale. So anyone looking for a beautiful gift for Mom or to adorn their home or patio, stop in and check out the supply. There's a story of a police recruit that was asked during his final exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? And without pausing, he said, call for backup. Of course, today is Mother's Day. It's a happy day filled with good times for family and for loved ones. It's also a day of memory of mothers no longer physically with us and the tremendous ways that they influenced our lives. Not too long ago, I was surfing through the channels on the television and I came across an ad that caught my attention. And it was an ad actually for Prego pasta sauce, I think. And it was after the next few weeks, I noticed this TV ad was running quite a bit, but it had already gone through three different versions. The sauce started out with a new commercial series with kind of a sentimental, sepia-colored, sweet invitation for its customers to bring something nice to the table. And then on the screen would appear your family. There were freeze-frame photos of beautiful children that followed that. Well, a while later, a second phase of this ad got a bit more real, but still kind of cute. The photos now changed to what was probably an old movie camera or an early video. And you could see a toddler perched in his high chair, happily slurping up the pasta and then dumping the whole bowl on his head. It was not only real, but it was adorable. Now the third commercial variation continued to invite customers to bring your family to the table. But now the family was really a free-for-all. Brothers and sisters and mom and dad and grandparents, aunts and uncles, all are gathered around this big, long table, and they're shouting for bread, and they're shouting for pasta, and salad, and pass this, and pass that. The food flies through the air. Some of it even gets onto the plate. It's chaotic and crazy and completely believable. It's the way big family meals really should look, I think. Now, throughout all of these different family images, whether sentimental or sweet or disorderly real, the theme remained the same. The family together at the table sharing what families always try to share, and that's their love for each other. Now, when Roxanne found out that my title of my sermon was Family Love, she texted me. She said, say something nice about me and I'll give you $5. Your kids were great. You know, family love doesn't always look pretty and perfect. Sometimes it's sloppy and it's messy. Sometimes it's loud and obnoxious. Sometimes family love sounds more like scolding than sentiment. Sometimes family love feels tough instead of tender. But the things that keep families together, it isn't the right pasta sauce or lavish Sunday dinners. And it's not even complete acceptance and understanding of all that family members say or do. What keeps families together, what keeps everyone coming back to that table week after week and year after year is love. The love that stands firm, no matter what. Love is what keeps a family a family. Now, in the lesson for this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth was a church that had had its share of conflict. The love of Christ that Paul speaks of is a very special kind of love. It's not eros, the lustful kind of love, or philios, the friendship, mutual kind of love. This is something different. This is agape love, a love that cares more about the other person than it does about the self. What better way to describe family love, or maybe today more specifically, mother's love? This selfless love of Christ transformed a hodgepodge group of unrelated men and women into a family. But that family wasn't called into existence just for its own sake. Jesus' new love commandment that I talked about 2 weeks ago is the first directive in the ongoing mission of all those disciples then and now. Loving each other is the way that disciples become mediators of Christ's love to the world. Mediation seems to be a hot career opportunity these days. More and more people who are caught up in conflicted relationships, the husbands and wives, the employers and employees, cities and counties, are calling on professionally trained mediators to help them settle their differences. Well, Paul is directing the church at Corinth to become mediators of divine love. To be such a remarkable conduit requires that the divine love already exists within each disciple. But the love that Paul calls the people of Corinth to offer is reflected in a story, a very simple little story by a homiletics professor. He writes, "When I was about 8, I was with some neighborhood kids. We were building a dam across a drainage ditch down the block, and a new kid came up and looked us full in the face and cried out, 'That's the stupidest thing I ever saw.' I don't know why, but I was crushed. I climbed out of the ditch and ran home into the kitchen, where my mother wrapped my sobbing body in her apron. For me, that was mediating God's presence." With today as Mother's Day, is there any better example of what it means to mediate God's love than that of a mom? A love that sacrifices, that is steadfast and forgiving. It's even been suggested that the first real experience we have of the unique nature of God's love comes from our mothers. With our baptism and with the kids singing and with the steeple bells here this morning, I want to be brief, but I want to finish with a piece called A Mother's Version of 1 Corinthians 13. I can read bedtime stories till the cow jumps over the moon and sing 10 little monkeys until I want to call the doctor. But if I don't have love, I'm as annoying as a ringing phone. I can chase a naked toddler through the house while cooking dinner and listening to voicemail. I can fix the best cookies and Kool-Aid in the neighborhood. And I can tell a sick child's temperature with the touch of my finger. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. Love is patient while watching and praying by the front window when it's 30 minutes past curfew. Love is kind when my teen says, "I hate you." It doesn't envy the neighbor's swimming pool or their brand new minivan, but trusts that the Lord will provide every need. Love doesn't brag when other parents share their disappointments and insecurities. And love rejoices when other families succeed. It doesn't boast even when I've multitasked all day and my husband can't do more than one thing at a time. Love is not rude when my spouse innocently asks, "What have you done today?" It doesn't immediately seek after glory when we see talent in our children, but encourages them to get training and make wise choices. Love is not easily angered, even when my 15-year-old acts like the world revolves around him. It doesn't delight in evil when I remind my 17-year-old He's going 83 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, but rejoices in the truth. Love doesn't give up hope. It always protects our children's self-esteem and spirit, even while doling out discipline. It always trusts God to protect our children when we cannot. It always perseveres through blue nail polish and burps and other bodily functions, rolled eyes and crossed arms, messy rooms and sleepovers. Love never fails. But where there are memories of thousands of diaper changes and painful labor, they will fade away. Where there is talking back, it will cease. Please, Lord, it will cease. Where there's a teenager who thinks he knows everything, there will one day be an adult who knows you did your best. For we know we fail our children and we pray they don't end up in therapy. But when we get to heaven, our imperfect parenting will disappear. When we were children, we needed a parent to love and protect us. Now that we're parents ourselves, we have a Heavenly Father who adores and shelters us and holds us when we need to cry. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What better way to understand how we are to share God's love with each other? Happy Mother's Day. Amen.